All right, let's pray, and we'll jump into God's word. Father, we come to you in this moment, and we lift up all the things that we've been celebrating, the things that we are praying for and grieving over this morning. We thank you that we get to be a faith family that can come, and we can do the celebration, and we can also talk about the hard things. And so, Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, may we truly hear you. Would you give us ears to hear? May we hear from you. Pray this in Jesus' good and powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 13, and we were talking about some of these kingdom parables. And I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 13, and I want us to look at the parable of the weeds, the parable of the weeds. As Jesus is giving these kingdom parables, he also explains them. He says, this is what's going on. And so I want us to go back to verse 24, Matthew 13, verse 24 and following. And let's just walk through this together. Verse 24 says, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. So an enemy has come to do this and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to him, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? Verse 29, but he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus explains the parable, verse 36. Says, then he left the crowds and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the evil one has sown them, who has sown them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This parable is pretty straightforward. You see it. Jesus is clear. He gives the parable. The disciples come along and they say, Jesus, that was very coded. Can you explain that to us? And he just lays it out. Very simple. But he's teaching some very important points here. And one of the things that Jesus is telling to them is that he is about some very important business in the world. And that important business that he is doing in the world is to plant the seeds of the kingdom. And the seeds of the kingdom are the sons of the kingdom. Now, the word son, the word son has nothing to do with gender. It's a title. Because a son in the kingdom is a legal heir. It means that you have spiritually have a legal relationship with God. You have access to God. He's your father. And so don't let that throw you off. But he says, what I'm doing all over the planet is I'm planting seeds of the kingdom. I'm planting sons and daughters of the kingdom everywhere, all over. And he's been doing this great work since Pentecost. It means that you and I have been, if you are a son or daughter of the king, you and I in God's providence have been planted right here. You're not here by accident. You don't live where you live by accident. You don't do what you do by accident. You're not breathing this air right now in this world, right here in the river region. It's not by accident. This is God's work among us. And Jesus says, I'm planting seeds of the kingdom all over the earth. But not only is he saying that, Jesus also tells his disciples, I can see the fake seeds. I know which ones are really the weeds that have been sown in. And you can talk about the Dardanelle that was that people would do this in the first century. If you wanted to, if someone had a grudge against you, they would go and they would, as you were planting, they would sow this at night and they would grow up together. You wouldn't recognize them, yes. But the point that Jesus is making here is, I know who are mine and I know who are not mine. I know those who are of the evil one. But one of the things that Jesus is teaching his disciples is not just who's who in the parable. Notice what he says. Notice the tendency is to go try to pull up the weeds. But Jesus says, no, wait. Jesus waits for the proper time to separate things out. Now that's important, because I told you last week that if you do not understand the nature of God's kingdom, you're going to live in one of two places. Either one, you're going to think God's kingdom is irrelevant to you. It has nothing to do with you. That's just something those church people do. Or number two, you're going to be frustrated by what you think is a lack of progress or growth in the kingdom. And so many times we look at the world and we see the things that are going on in the world and we say, God, why don't you fix that? God, why don't you heal that? God, why don't you, don't let that happen or this happen, whatever it may be. But Jesus here is saying, no. Yes, there are seeds of the kingdom that are sown in the world. Yes. And there are also weeds that have been sown by the evil one. There is coming a day when I will separate the two out, and it'll be very, very clear. And a part of what Jesus is telling his disciples is, you got to trust my timing. You got to trust my timing. Now, what I've done with this text this week is I've been asking myself a question. In light of the series that we're in, where we're talking about living a commissioned life, I've been thinking about that and thinking about this text and asking a question. And the question is, what does it mean to be planted in this world? What does it mean to be planted in this world as a seed of the kingdom? Notice the context. He's not talking about the church, you know, that there are wheat and weeds in the church. That's actually not what he's talking about. He's very clear. He's talking about the world. But what does it mean then for those of us who truly believe on Jesus? What does it mean to be planted in this world as a seed of the kingdom? What does it mean to be planted by Jesus himself? If you and I are planted here by Jesus, what does it mean? What does that look like? What should it look like? What do I need to know? Now, I can't answer all those questions, but you see the kind of question I've been living with this week. And what I want to do is I want to pan out for just a second. I want to look at this in context. I want to pan out and ask the question, what does the Bible say about what Jesus is revealing here? Because the thing that Jesus is revealing here is so important to understand if we're going to walk with him through this life. And so I had about 30 things I wanted to say. And I chose 7. You're welcome. All right. We'll see. Number one, and please hear me here. Point number one is that my growth takes time. Please write that sentence down. My growth takes time. Your growth takes time. And this is so important to get. You see, when Jesus tells the parable of the weeds, in between Jesus telling the parable and Jesus explaining the parable, Jesus also gives another short parable that is connected here. What Jesus says in Matthew 13:31, again, in context of all his teaching here, he says this. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest garden plant. One of the largest garden plants. Starts small, grows big. How many of you know that growth does not happen instantaneously? You with me? No one expects it. Right? You know that if you plant a seed in the ground, you know that tomorrow it's not going to be fully grown. We know this. We know this, right? But we live in this instant society. Everything around us, we want instantly. Even most of our food now is like it's instant, right? I mean, how many of you have cooked oatmeal like the old-fashioned way recently, right? Okay, two of y'all, show off. Anyway, I saw your hands, right? Everything's instant. Everything's quick. And here's what happens. In this instant society that we live in, we put serious time restrictions on God. We do it all the time. We pray for something on one day and we expect it to be answered the next day, right? And if it's not answered in a you know, what we think would be an appropriate time frame, we get frustrated. But not only do we put time restrictions on God, we put time restrictions on ourselves. Please hear me, especially all you type A people. And this is not an excuse, it's a fact. But listen, your growth takes time. It takes time. And if you are sincerely seeking to do God's will in your life, please hear me. If you are sincerely seeking to do God's will in your life, when you mess up, would you give yourself a little grace? You're not going to get it right all the time. But when you fail, would you give yourself a little grace? And understand, it takes time. You're learning to walk, a new way of living. When a baby is learning to walk and they fall on their bottom, no one gets mad and screams at them. We cheer them on and tell them to get up again, right? And listen, as you're learning to spiritually walk with God and what that means in your life, you're going to mess up too. You're going to fail as well. Would you have a little grace with yourself? Get up and move on. Get up, repent, confess, whatever you need to do, but then move on. We talk a lot in our culture about being a lifelong learner, right? I want to be a lifelong learner. Well, the question is, are you going to be a lifelong spiritual learner? If so, that means you're going to realize I've got some things wrong along the way. But if you'll have a little grace with yourself, you can get up and keep growing, keep moving forward. This is really important. Very important. Again, especially for all you who are here who like organize your sock drawer, listen, you need to give yourself a little grace. Everybody with me? Number two is this, is that different seasons are necessary, but there is never a season without God. While different seasons are necessary in life, we go through a lot of them. A lot of different seasons in life. But there's never a season without God. So many times we think there is. This is one of the things that going on the mission field has taught me. One of the things is listening to people from all around the world in different contexts is that one of the things they've taught me is that no matter the season that you're in, it is our job to stay connected to and committed to God and His people. That's our job. Because what happens is so many times we need a breakthrough in our life and we expect a breakthrough in our life and we just want God to do something in our life, but you can't have a breakthrough if you're constantly going through a breakup. You can't have a breakthrough if you're constantly breaking away, right? So many times we expect God to do something in our life, but you ain't had a conversation with Him in 3 months. But we're mad at God because He hadn't done anything, right? Are you with me? Yeah? You with me here? This is how it works. There's a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 8. It says this, Zechariah 8:12, "For I am planting," this is God speaking, "for I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you." Notice that you. This is a prophecy directly connected to what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 13, of planting sons of the kingdom. Among you, plural. This prophecy is pointing to what Jesus is going to do. This is God speaking. And notice that there's this inward peace, there's this outward prosperity or human flourishing, right? People misuse the word prosperity today, but there's this inner peace and there's this outward flourishing that happens when these seeds are planted. And it's Jesus who comes along and says, "I am planting them, sons of the kingdom, daughters of the kingdom, all over the world," which tells us the peace and prosperity that we are looking for happens among God's people because that's where God's presence dwells in a unique way. And you're never going to find peace. You're never going to find the prosperity, the flourishing you're looking for separated from God and His people. Number three, you're not going to like this one, but it's important. And it is that seasons of darkness are necessary. Seasons of darkness are necessary. Nobody wants to go through a hard season. Nobody wants to go through a difficult season. I don't know anybody who woke up this morning, it's like, man, I really hope today's hard, right? No one's doing that. And there are a lot of seasons that happen in our life and they are hard and they are dark and God did not create them, the enemy did. But God allowed them and God can use them. And if you find yourself in a hard, dark season right now, I'm telling you, God can use this season. And here's what He does. Look at Psalm 126. It says, "Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed." but they sing as they return with the harvest. You see, we have a God who can do that. We have a God that can take the darkest moments of your life and actually shine the brightest, and that's what he does. God takes the darkest moments of your life and he shines the brightest in those moments, which means if you're going through a dark season right now, if times are hard, if you're struggling right now, just look out, because God can shine brightly right where you are. Amen? Amen. Now, that's 3 points, and I know you wish I was done, but I'm not. All right, so just making sure. All right, here's something that has to happen in our life. The Bible talks about, as I was studying this, the Bible talks about this metaphor of planting in a couple of different ways. It actually mixes the metaphor. And one of the things you see in Scripture is that you have to move from being planted to being the planter. You have to move from being planted to being the planter. You can't just live as a consumer all the time. Everybody with me there? This is a mark of spiritual maturity, actually, the Bible tells us, in order to be able to sow kingdom seed. So I want to make that shift with point number four. And point number four is this, is that planting seed in someone else's life is an act of faith for a future result. That point is very important to me, because just as we need to have some grace with ourselves, also we need to realize that when we are planting and sowing seed into someone else's life, it's not instantly going to produce either. Not normally. Now it can, and God can make something instantly happen. Absolutely, he manifests himself that way. Sure. Yeah, but most of the time when we are sowing kingdom seed into someone else's life, it is an act of faith on our part, because we have to wait before we actually see it. But our job is to sow the seed. Our job is to water the seed. It's God who gives the increase. This is the big conversation of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the conversation that Paul lays out because of what was going on in the church there. He says this in verse 6, I planted the seed in your hearts. So notice, that's what he's talking about, sowing kingdom seed into people's lives. He said, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's always God who makes it grow. It's not important, he says, who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's worker, and you are God's field. Again, you see the parable being played out here in Paul. But notice what he says. Our job is to sow the seed. Our job is to water the seed. But it's God who always gives the growth. We in our culture, we want to dictate outcomes so much, don't we? Listen, you cannot dictate the spiritual outcomes in somebody else's life. You can try to manipulate all day long. All that's going to do is be frustrating. But you sow seed, you water seed, you trust God. Trust God to be the one to make it grow. Number five is we need to remember that I will harvest what I plant. I will harvest what I plant. My friends, you will not harvest what you intended to plant. But I meant to, right? But I wanted to. You will not harvest what you intended to plant. You will harvest what you plant. Everybody do this? Yeah, that's how it works. I will harvest what I plant. You know, every interaction that you have is an opportunity to sow kingdom seed. Every interaction that you have. I love what Hosea says. Hosea 10:12 says, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. I love that. The New Testament says the same thing in a different way. James 3:18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Notice that. Peacemakers plant seeds of peace, harvest righteousness. Now, there's a warning in the Bible, and the warning is Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 4, look at this verse. It says, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. If I were going to put that in more modern language, I would say those too lazy to prepare in the right season will have no food at harvest. You see, whenever he's talking about plowing, plowing is not planting. Plowing is preparing to plant. You with me? Plowing, not planting. It's preparing the ground to plant. And the question is do we walk into each day prepared to sow kingdom seed? Are we actually prepared? Are we ready? Much less do we pray, God, would you give me an opportunity to do this? Lord, would you send someone in my path? And send me somebody who's hurting, who's struggling, who's going through something so that I can be there for them and sow your seed into their life. Do we pray prayers like that? See, that's being prepared. That's being prepared. Sometimes we just kind of walk haphazardly into life and we call it being spiritual. But kingdom people are intentional people, and they can be intentional people because they're prepared people. And we have to realize that I'm going to harvest what I plant. I need to be prepared to plant the right seed. You're going to sow something into somebody's life. It's going to happen. But be prepared to plant the right seed, number six. Not going to like this one either, sorry. But you got to die. You got to die to yourself. Number six is I must die so that I can really live. You want to really live a kingdom life? You want to really live the Jesus kind of life? You've got to die to yourself. You want to be a son and daughter of the King, sowing kingdom seed wherever you go, wherever the Lord has you? You got to realize it's not about you. I referenced this verse last week, and I wanted to put it in this week so that we could read it together. It's John 12:24. It says, truly, truly, this is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And then he says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In this world, where there's wheat and weeds, he will keep it for eternal life. You know, it is true that there are times when God calls you to give things up. Yes? Yep. And those are very legit times where God calls you to give something up. But every day of your life, God is calling you to get over. It's one thing for God to call you to give up something, but every day we have to get over ourselves. We have to die to self so that we can follow him, so that we can be the people he's called us to be. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, when you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. You see this all throughout Scripture. Jesus is talking about it. Paul's talking about it. You have to die to yourself in order to grow. You see, here's how God set this thing up. God makes dead things come alive. You with me there? He makes dead things come alive, and he makes them come alive so that he can use them, but they have to die first. This is a part of the gospel we just don't like. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our desires, our ambition, all of that that drives us. We have to die to those things so that we can be used by him. I have seen talented people in ministry, talented, gifted people who want to do great things from God, and they just mess it up because they can't get out of their own way. I've watched it for over 20 years. I've watched it in people who stand on platforms. I've watched it for people who sit in pews who, again, want to do great things for God, but they can't get out of their own way. But you got to die to yourself. But when you die to yourself, that's when you're going to see resurrection power surge through you. And it's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. When you're dead, buried, and out of the way, that's when God can actually work. Number seven. I want to end with this because I think this is so important. And I'll tell you why in a second. But the point is never give up on the God who will never give up on you. And I want to tell you why this is important. Whenever we talk about, when people like me talk about things like this, and we talk about planting seed and sowing seed, we talk about being kingdom people, we talk about dying to self, one of the things that the enemy does is tell you that you haven't done that enough. Or the enemy says, you can't really do that. Or even right now, some of you in your mind, I'm sitting here talking, but you're sitting here battling, going, I don't know if I can go all in like that. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't give up. God's never going to give up on you. But you don't give up on you. You know, there is a difference between messing up and giving up. Are you with me? Are you going to mess up? Yep. That was a southern yes, by the way. Yes, you will. But just because you mess up doesn't mean you have to give up. Because here's the thing, God's not going to give up. A verse that has become one of my favorite verses, Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this. I love this language. That's strong language. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will, not might, not could, not might could. We say that in the South. Will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He will. Because he's not gonna give up on you. And the only way that God has to stop using you to sow kingdom seed is if you give up. And I'm here today just to say, don't give up. If you feel like giving up, you don't have to give up. If life has been hard and you've been living with disappointment, you don't have to give up on God. You don't have to. If you've been living with frustration, you've been trying to find purpose, you've been trying to find meaning in life, if that's you, if someone's abandoned you, please know God will not abandon you. You don't have to give up. Does life get hard? Yes. Do we mess up? Yes. But you don't have to give up. And I just want to plead with you, don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but I'm just saying, don't give up. You don't have to give up. He's not going to give up on you. And the reminder of that is right there. It's what we're going to take in just a moment. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, call it what you want. It's the reminder that Jesus did not give up all the way to the cross, but on the other side of the cross is an empty tomb. On the other side of the cross is resurrection. Yeah. And listen, if life is hard and heavy right now, if you're tired, it feels like you can't even put one foot in front of the other, he is with you and he's not going to give up, and you don't have to either. So Father, we come to you right now in the name that is above every other name. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I know we have some more things to do in this service. We're going to take communion. We're going to commission a mission team to go out. But Lord, for just this moment right here, we just say thank you for Jesus, who did not give up on us. And now there is a power that lives within us that's greater than anything in this world, and we don't have to give up either. So wherever you are, whatever you're walking through, whatever's heavy on your heart and mind right now, would you just lay it at his feet? Lord, we confess what we need to confess. We repent of what we need to repent of. We take off the burdens and the yokes that we've placed on ourselves, not you. We lay it all down. And we say thank you for the cross and thank you for the empty tomb, because it's what makes this moment and this prayer possible. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you.